Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
You know you've made a name for yourself in the body when it's officially announced that the woohooers are not here today, and they're missed. That's pretty cool. So today I'm going to talk to you guys. We're going to talk about something that everybody knows about. Everybody probably understands, and everybody has a story to tell. We're going to talk about perseverance. And that covers a lot of areas in our life. I know that right now in this body, there are people who are persevering. And there's a lot of different things you can persevere in. Financial matters. There are people who are probably persevering right now in financial matters. Health is a biggie. I know, especially in this body, there's a lot of people who are persevering in health. Relationships. I'd be willing to bet right now that there's someone out here struggling in a relationship. And they're persevering. Faith. You may be struggling or persevering in faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about persevering and what it means to us every single day in life and what the Bible has to say about persevering in faith. Persevering, the definition of perseverance is steadfastness in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. Okay, that's steadfastness, that's being steady in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. So like I said, I think probably every one of us out here has a perseverance. We probably have tons of perseverance stories in our life where we have been steadfast despite something being difficult or being delayed in the achieving of our success. Now, what would be the opposite of perseverance? It would be quitting. I assume we all have plenty quitting stories out there to tell as well. I know I do. I didn't retire from the Air Force. I quit. 24 years, and I quit. Retirement's a nice word for it. It sounds great, but the truth of the matter is, I quit. I could have gone 30 years, but I didn't persevere in that. I quit. Now, quitting's not necessarily a bad thing. If you're smoking, I urge you to quit. There's nothing wrong with not persevering in your habit, okay? So quitting isn't always a bad. In fact, I'm gonna give you an example of something I quit. I'm sure all of you know what this is right here. It is the bane of my existence. I quit trying. Now, this came like this. It's solved because I bought it this way. Not because I succeeded and persevered in solving this puzzle. Okay? I didn't do it. I've never been able to do it. I've tried. How long has this been out? 20, 30 years? More? Oh, thank you. I cannot solve the Rubik's Cube, okay? So I quit. I don't care. I will go to my grave knowing that I will never solve the Rubik's Cube. And that's okay. I'm okay with it. So see, quitting isn't necessarily a bad thing. It depends on what you're quitting on. This is not a life or death situation. Is it not? It's a puzzle. A very demeaning, unworthy, horrible puzzle. I will never finish it. But I'm going to tell you a story about something I did finish, something I persevered through. I graduated from a very small high school in Northern California, 30 kids in my class, 18 guys, 12 girls. Like I said, very small. Nobody in my family had ever gotten a college degree. Nobody. Not one. No one. My dad left school in the sixth grade. My mom quit when she was, I don't know, a freshman, sophomore in high school. My dad's family, nobody in that side of the family had ever graduated from college. My mom's side of the family, no one had ever graduated from college. My dad's family was from Oklahoma, and they followed the harvest from year to year. That's how they earned a living, or they worked in the woods. So there was a lot of mouths to feed and not very much money and no time for college. So when I graduated from high school, I just assumed, because of where I was and the position I was in life and the way things were financially back then, I just assumed I would never go to college. I wanted to do something more, but I just assumed I never would. I graduated high school in 1978, got married in 1981, had our first child in 1983, and in 1983 I joined the Air Force, 5 years after I graduated high school. And I had my first experience with college my first year in the Air Force. I attended what was called Community College of the Air Force through tech school. And eventually, not right away, but eventually, I got a degree in aircraft power plant technology from Community College of the Air Force as a jet engine mechanic. And so that was the beginning of my education. And some point in time in that first couple of years in the Air Force, I decided I was going to get a degree. Now, deciding you're going to do something and doing something are two different things. We decide all the time we're going to do something, and it gets a little difficult, and we undecide. We decide to do something else. See, there's a couple words that go along with perseverance. First thing is determination. Firmness of purpose, resoluteness. Okay, in order to persevere, you have to make a decision. You have to determine that that's really what you want. There has to be a firmness in your purpose and a resoluteness in your mind and your heart that that's what you're going to do. And what is a purpose? The purpose is the reason for which something is done or created or for which something exists. So there's three words here. There's perseverance, there's determination, and there's purpose. So you have to purpose in your heart in order to have that determination, in order to persevere in whatever it is you want to do. See, when I started college, I started at Community College of the Air Force. Now, here's where the perseverance comes in. By the time I graduated, I had attended 5 different colleges in 4 different locations, or 5 different locations, actually. Because you get started in college somewhere in the Air Force, and then you move. So I started out Community College of the Air Force. I got hours through them, through CCAF. We were stationed in Phoenix, Arizona, Williams Air Force Base, Arizona, and I started going to college at Rio Salado Community College. Now, you know, in order to graduate, you have to have so many resident hours in a specific place, or else you can't graduate from that place. So I got started in Rio Salado Community College, and then we ended up having to move. Moved to Lubbock, Texas, Reese Air Force Base. So I transferred hours from Rio Salado, from CCAF, and I started a place called Levelland Community College, outside of Lubbock, Texas. So I'm in my third college now. I'm transferring hours, and I'm working full-time. I've got two kids now and a wife. And while I'm at Reese Air Force Base, I take a second job. We're there less than 2 years, and we got to move again. We moved to San Antonio, Texas. I get enrolled in school, Wayland Baptist University. I start taking classes, transfer everything down there. We're there 18 months. I get another assignment, Fairchild Air Force Base. Pack everybody up, we move up here, but I am still determined, no matter how hard this is, because in my mind, this was good for me and it was good for my family. It would increase my income, and I could take care of them better as a father and as a husband. So, Fairchild Air Force Base, here we come. Transfer all my credit hours. Get enrolled at Park University, my fifth college. And in 1999, I started classes in 1986. 13 years later, 1999, I graduated. Got a degree, bachelor's degree in business management. But I had purposed in my heart, I was determined, and oh yeah, I forgot to throw in the deployments and everything else like that, but I was determined that I was going to get that degree. Now, was that a life or death situation? No, it wasn't. It was something that I wanted to do. Something that I felt was necessary. Now, we all make decisions every single day about what we're going to do or whether we're going to continue doing something. And when we make those decisions, a lot of it depends on what we've purposed right here in our hearts. And I don't care what it is, whether it's relationship or finances or school or whatever, our purpose and our determination either helps or hinders in our perseverance. Let's go to Philippians 3, 7 through 14. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so, somehow, attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Amen? Yeah. See, Paul got it when it comes to persevering. And Paul had purposed in his heart. He knew what he was about. He knew what God had called him to do. And he was determined to run that race, no matter what happened. Paul was determined. And you got to think about what Paul gave up just to even get in that race to begin with. He was a Pharisee. He was wealthy. He was well known. He was respected. He was loved in the community that he was a part of. And yet, he calls it garbage. He got rid of all of that. Gave it up. Walked away from it. See, this is a life or death decision that he made about his faith and who he was going to serve. How many of us would walk away? We're at the top of whatever chosen profession we have taken. Reminds me of the story of the wealthy young man who asked Jesus, what are we willing to give up in order to follow Christ? What is your determination and purpose in life when it comes to faith and who you're going to follow? Like the wealthy young man, his money was his God. His money was that breaking point. He'd done everything else. Yet his money came between him and Christ. He had not purposed in his heart that he was willing to give everything. And what are you going to do if you haven't purposed in your heart that you're not willing to give everything, your life, whatever God asks of you, if that's not purposed in your heart and your faith walk, what happens if God come and ask that of you? What are you going to do? Are you going to walk away sad like the rich young man did? Or are you going to give everything away like Paul did? He called it garbage. I press on toward the goal to win the prize which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He presses on. He was determined. He knew what he wanted. Despite the circumstances, and Paul was in some terrible circumstances at different times in his life as he followed Christ. Some terrible circumstances. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. See, that's what Paul did. He got rid of everything that hindered him. In that old world where he was, as that Pharisee, he had to get rid of it in order to move forward in his faith, to follow Christ Jesus. Hebrews says to get rid of anything that hinders us. And we've all heard this preached before. I know I have. I've read it in Bible studies. But do we really get rid of that stuff that hinders us? Have we determined and purposed in our heart, really, truly done that in order to move forward in our faith? There's a picture of a flower up here. It's kind of hard to tell, but that's a road. It's a bunch of concrete, and there's a curb, It's all concrete. Picture it hot and dry and dusty. And what's in the middle of all of that? There's a beautiful flower. That flower has persevered. Through just looking, if there was no flower there, you would think nothing can grow out of that. Nothing. And yet, in the middle of all that concrete, there's a beautiful flower. That's a sign, it's a picture to me of perseverance sometimes. We can feel like everything is against us. The achieving of our goals, we've had roadblock after roadblock thrown in front of us. Success has been delayed. Yet, like myself, I continued on and got that degree. That's not a life or death thing that I persevered in. This is not a life or death thing that you persevered in. But our faith, our eternal life with our Father in heaven, that is a life or death decision. If you can't get determined about that, if you can't get purpose in your life about that, the rest of this means nothing. It means absolutely nothing, except for the time you're here on this earth. That's all it's good for. And how long is that? So I'm urging you today to become that flower when it comes to your faith. Make that determination in your heart, in your life, purpose before going forward. Romans 5, 1 through 4. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces what? Produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. See, we persevere through things. We persevere through things that we want. We persevere through relationships that we want to have flourish. We persevere when it comes to work. We persevere. There's a ton of different areas in our life that we persevere in. Is your perseverance for God the same as all those others? And why? Why do we need to persevere? Because God says right here, That suffering, whatever it may be, produces perseverance, okay? Perseverance, character. Character. Each one of us has a character, a personality trait. We may be... Character is hard to explain, but I know the character of many people in this church because I've developed relationships with them. I know who they are. And that's what that perseverance does. It develops your character, especially persevering in faith. It develops a character of a man or woman who loves God. That's the character he's talking about. That's why it's important through our sufferings to persevere, keeping our eyes on Jesus, because it's going to develop that love for Christ. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. and character hope. See, once you've got that character of love for Christ, out of that comes hope. And we all know that if you don't have hope, you've got nothing. If you don't have hope that once we leave this earth and this decaying body is in the ground, we've got everlasting life with God and Christ in heaven. If you don't believe that, if you have no hope for that, what are you doing here? So perseverance is important because it takes us through the sufferings, builds character, and builds hope, leads to hope. And I know, without a doubt, there are people in here right now who are persevering. A lot of different situations. You're persevering. Psalms 46, 1 through 3. Here's why we can persevere, okay? God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Do you get that? See, we don't have to persevere alone. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Why? Because God is our refuge and our strength. If only we turn to Him. See, I'm like a lot of people. I try to do everything on my own. And it doesn't always work for me. It gets me in trouble. It leads me places I don't need to go. And eventually, I am reminded, quite drastically, that I need to turn to God for help. Why didn't I do that to begin with? I wouldn't have been way over here. See, I'm not very smart. I know I'm good looking, but I'm not very smart. They don't go hand in hand, I'm telling you. Why am I so stupid? I know that to begin with, I need to go to God in all things. Not just trials and tribulations and difficult things, but in all things, in thankfulness. In thankfulness for the good things. And then in prayer for decisions. Before any decision you make, you should take it to God in prayer. But no. I got it all figured out here. Just keep your eyes on me. Not. Because of who God is and His promises to us, we can be confident in our perseverance. Because of who He is and His promises to us, we can be confident in our perseverance. You know, the scary thing about perseverance is, and I think where we lose a lot of the world, think about this. When you're a young Christian, just coming to God for the first time, we talked about this a little bit this morning and Sunday morning workout. So you're of the world. You've grown up in the culture of the world. You don't know who God is. But God has planted a thought I think I want to find out a little bit about this God, about who these Christians are. So God has planted a thought, and it might be through one of you who have spoken to someone, maybe just for a moment, about your faith. Or maybe they've been watching you and you persevered through something. And they saw how you handled it because of your faith. You don't think people are watching you who are not Christians, who know that you're a Christian? You're being watched all the time. So maybe God, using you, planted this seed, this thought in this person who thinks, you know what, I want to check out God. So in this process, they start looking for a church. You get in the yellow pages, or okay, I know there's no yellow pages anymore. Well, there is, just nobody uses them. So you get online and you start looking for a church. How do you know what church to go to? You're of the world. You don't know anything about these churches. There's probably 300 churches in Spokane. So they're looking for a church. They find some place. The family goes, and they're slowly starting to learn about who God is, and then Satan attacks them. What happens most times when that happens? Without the body coming around and engaging and holding up and uplifting and encouraging and praying for that family or that person, chances are they won't persevere. And they'll fall away from God. So we as a body, when we have those people in our midst, we have to be aware of it. We have to see it. And we have to surround them with love and encouragement so that with God using us, they can persevere through that time until their faith grows to the point where they understand it's a life and death decision. See, if they choose to leave, they're making a life and death decision about the kingdom and about everlasting life, and they may be lost forever. So we have a responsibility as a body, not just to ourselves, but to those around us as well. Amen? You know, I was going to read a little bit of Job, because there's several stories in the Bible about perseverance. And you want to see someone who literally gets everything taken away and yet perseveres. That's Job. Beginning of Job 1:13 through 22 is the beginning of the destruction of Job's world. And he loses everything while he's standing talking to these servants who are coming to him and telling him what's going on. In a matter of, I don't know, maybe a half hour, 45 minutes, Job loses everything. Everything. I'm not going to read it because we're running out of time, but Job chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. But at the end, on verse 22, it says, in all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. See, Job was faithful. Job kept the faith. It's horrible, the things that happened to Job. Read Job. You want to learn about perseverance? Read Job. I'm going to read 1 Kings 19, 19 through 21. This backs up a little bit about what Paul did. The call of Elisha. So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. So you know what's key in that? In those verses? Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat, and he gave it to the people. He made a decision. He determined what he was going to do and purposed in his heart. And Elisha got rid of everything. Nothing to go back to. He got rid of it. Like Paul. Got rid of everything so there was nothing to hinder him in his walk. Remember that. If you're holding on to something, you are hindering your walk, your faith walk with the Lord. I want you to remember that. Matthew 5, 11 through 12. And I'm going to have the praise band come on up at this time. Matthew 5, 11 through 12. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. See, we're going to be persecuted. You need to understand that. You need to know that. All you have to do is pay attention to the news and what's been going on for the last 20 years. See the direction where this world is going. See the direction where our nation is going. For our kids and our grandkids, this is why it's so important that we raise them up in the faith, because I'm telling you the direction we're headed. It's not going to be a beautiful place for Christians. It's going to look a lot like that right there. A lot like that. That's why we need to raise our kids and grandkids up, so that they know what they believe and why they believe it. Amen? Hebrews 10:36 says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You need to persevere so that you, when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. I've got a little quote here I'm going to read. And I don't know who to attribute it to. I saw it on ODB Daily Devotional, and there was no name attached to it, but I want to read it. I said to the Lord, "Lord, is my commitment to you strong enough to handle this?" And he whispered back, "No, but my commitment to you is." Remember that. You're not in this alone. Amen? Amen. Thank you. Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8 says, "I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken." We have one who will never leave us, never forsake us, who always wants the best for each and every one of us. What can I say? What can I do? But give my heart completely to you. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, God. I thank you, Father, that you are always there before me. That you are always there before each and every one of us, God. That you guide our paths. That you care for us. That you love us. That you desire only that which is good. I pray, Lord, that we would purpose in our hearts. We would make a determination and a decision, Heavenly Father, to always, always put you first. We thank you, God, for this opportunity. That we still have life to live and air to breathe, and that from this moment forward, we can live our lives for you, Lord. I just ask you to be with us in the coming week, Father, to give us purpose, determination and direction, Lord, in everything. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed.